Hello and welcome. My name is Scott Morrison from Laird here, and I'm with Michael Leventhal, the Senior Director of XML Products at Churari. What we're going to be talking about today is scaling XML in the data center. What are some of the issues you have to think about? What are some of the new kinds of technologies that can actually help you work out how to do web services, how to do XML messaging, and how to do it efficiently on a very, very large scale deployment? And sorry we don't have Deep Call from IBM with us. He wasn't able to make this webinar, but I think between myself and Michael Leventhal, we'll actually be able to hopefully answer most of your questions and tell you a lot about what's going on here. Now, this webinar is being recorded, so if you want to go back and reference it again later, that'll be fine. We'll be have it online on our website probably by the end of the day, and I think if you are registered for this talk, you should be able to get a link to it mailed out to you by probably, again, the end of the day. So with that, let's get started. Okay, here's the agenda. First of all, what I want to talk about is the whole concept of enterprise XML and web services. What it is about the enterprise is slightly different that makes things a little more interesting. A lot of people have done sort of small-scale web services deployments these days. They've been using technologies like J2EE, like Microsoft.NET, and they've done a lot of sort of experimental web services. What we're seeing now more and more amongst companies like ourselves at Layer 7 and at Churari as well, are larger scale deployments that actually have a number of different trading partners or remote sites that actually exchange in a lot of very, very large messages and very, very high data volumes. So of course, this actually requires a sort of different spin on how you actually approach processing these messages, deal with the new transaction volumes, and finally, how you can actually manage this effectively from a single location. So in other words, it's the classic problem that we've seen again and again, from going to databases, to application servers, to the web, everything like that. As we begin to get our hands around the technology, we start to run into issues of scaling, of manageability, of keeping all the things together in a large-scale environment. Web services, of course, is absolutely no different. We are starting to see web services come out in the enterprise situation. So we'll talk about that. We'll then talk about the whole concept of Blades, and in particular, IBM's eServer Blade Center, which we're actually using here at Layer 7 and along with Churari to actually create a truly scalable enterprise-wide system for securing XML messaging and securing web services. I think you're going to find this really interesting. And we'll talk very specifically about what each party brings to the table, what contributions IBM's making, Layer 7's making, and Churari are all making, and how the sort of combination of those three companies can actually give you a really effective, scalable solution to enterprise web services. And finally, I'll summarize that really quickly. So let me dive in right away and talk about the whole idea behind integration, for those of you who haven't come across this yet. The thing about using XML as a mechanism for integration is really it's a true lingua franca. It's something that all of the different parties can agree on, a sort of a common way of encapsulating and structuring data such that regardless of what your system architecture is, from a hardware perspective, from a network perspective, from a language and OS perspective, they can all agree on this common mechanism for actually serializing data and transferring data from one place to another. Now, there are a lot of different transports, of course, for getting that data, across the network. But the fundamental idea is that we can reuse an awful lot of infrastructure, some of which we've already created in the web, and of course, that's the web part of web services and XML. But a lot of new infrastructure, too, that actually allows us to, for the first time, create very, very widespread, scalable systems. I mean, the real key to it is when we built the web, we did something right. And for the first time, we were actually able to effectively create this truly scalable system that we can keep throwing new machines at and new websites and new technology at, and it doesn't come to its knees. I mean, the web just gets bigger and bigger and bigger all the time, and we're not running into huge scalability problems. Yeah, of course, there are on a localized basis. I mean, somebody puts out a website that gets a little too popular and the performance goes to its knees. But of course, we've come up with ways of dealing with that. We've got good technology for scaling the web. So in the case of web services, then, it's really kind of a simple observation in a lot of ways. It's sort of a way of stepping back and saying, what did we do right? What actually made the web work effectively? And why is that different than a lot of our other earlier attempts at creating large distributed networks that had largely failed, really? When you look at the history of distributed computing, we've had all sorts of technologies that have worked well localized, things like CORBA and Microsoft's COM Plus and that, but haven't scaled well in a larger, wide area sort of environment. Whereas the web did that. The web did that very effectively. And so really, web services integration is really about using that technology, understanding what kinds of things work, ideas like loose coupling, like stateless systems, and things like that, and trying to use those same concepts in an environment where you do a little more than simple document retrieval through web browsing. Because, largely, when you think about it, the web architecture and the web model is fairly simple. I mean, it's a few simple CRUD methods that allow you to access documents, update documents, delete documents, update documents in a few very, very simple methodologies. With the idea behind web services is we expand that into a much richer model where we can actually do transactions computer to computer, machine to machine, rather than human to computer. In other words, we're using documents as a mechanism for encapsulating data. But we're actually kicking off much more complex processes between different systems. And humans, in other words, the identities like you and I and everybody else, may not necessarily be tied to those applications. So in other words, we have this idea of applications talking to applications to get things done. I mean, we do this in bank systems and airline reservation systems and everything like that. But to do it using web technology, to do it using XML as this interface language, is actually what's kind of unique there. So the thing we really need then is a sort of a standardized mechanism for doing this, for tying these different systems together. And that's really where web services has exploded, as a standards-based approach to doing that, to tying these kinds of technologies and applications together in such a way that you can get really effective reuse. Now, a necessary part of this, of course, is some kind of secure access. I mean, as we've seen with the web, the early websites and things like that weren't particularly secure at all. And in fact, there's still lots of websites out there that aren't very secure whatsoever. Now the stakes are higher. So now we're starting to tie together more sophisticated systems and applications and have applications talking to other applications. We absolutely need to have a very, very strong security model tying these things together. And that's where companies like ourselves at Layer 7, companies like Terraria and IBM have been investing a tremendous amount of time in being able to create the new kinds of infrastructure that you'll be able to need to tie these different computer systems together, these different applications together, but still have the confidence that it's being done in a very secure manner. Now, the next slide. The key to thinking about this is and the key to why XML is an important part of this, is really standardization. I mean, XML isn't very hard. There's not much to it, really. I mean, you can learn XML in 30 seconds or something like that. There's a lot of complexity associated with the details of it, but the core concept of XML is pretty simple. It's really just a very, very simple way of delimiting data fields and structuring data in things like repeated elements and encapsulation of different deep structures. So the core idea is very, very simple. And the fact that you have a lot of infrastructure that you can start to delegate out to open source or to companies that build infrastructure, things like parsers and stuff. We've all written parsers before, in the bad old days where we all made up our own formats for data and things like that. The idea behind XML is really that nobody has to do that anymore. Nobody should be writing parsers anymore except for, a few gurus who are really, really good at building, XML parsers. And we should get to use those again and again. So standardization of that middle ground of how we actually serialize our data is actually an important concept. It's kind of simple in a lot of ways, but it's actually quite profound in its implications because of what you can actually do with it. Because once you've got a good method of standardizing how you turn your data into a document, you can start to then specialize your documents for verticals. Regardless of whether your vertical is transportation or banking or manufacturing. manufacturing. Each one of these, can start to standardize in how they represent the objects and the concepts that make sense in their particular vertical and area. And so a good example is things customer name, customer address, how we actually represent those. They're the kind of things that can very easily be standardized by, frankly, having a lot of us geeks go out and sit down and just hammer out a common format. And there's been millions of these. Every time you look around, there's a new markup language for a particular vertical or area. And that's actually a good thing, because it's important that there's some form of standardization around there. Now, along with that XML messaging and web services in general, we also have ideas like federation of caring, the idea where identities should have some kind of representation in different kinds of security domains. So in other words, my name is Scott Morrison. I have some kind of identity representation in the layer 7 domain. I have a username and a password. I have certificates and things like that. How can that identity be made relevant in other locations, other different kinds of systems, whether it be maybe the, eBay auction site that I use, or Amazon.com, or, maybe a stock trading service that I need? How can I use those same credentials and that same kind of information everywhere? That's the idea behind federation. It's really about these kinds of relationships and trust models between different security domains that allow administrators and security specialists to actually simplify the problem of managing identities so that they don't have to copy identities, they don't have to create proxy identities or anything like that. They can start to instead create sort of blanket trust arrangements so that maybe they don't need to know the details of an identity, what identity according to statements that's made by a remote authoritative service. And federation is really one of those interesting things that is starting to gain momentum now, certainly in the web world, but is an absolutely, core, cornerstone, sort of topic in web services. If people aren't doing it yet because it's pretty hard, but people will be doing it all the time in a few years. And so creating technologies that are scalable that can actually augment federation relationships, that can actually be enablers of federation relationships in web services, is absolutely crucial. And it's something that we work on a lot here at Layer 7. And we'll talk about it a little while further on. So, of course, with XML and with web service technology, there are all sorts of performance considerations. XML is a very, very verbose and repetitious kind of language. We have brackets enclosing all sorts of information and as tags and elements. We have closing tags. There's a tremendous amount of additional information in there that unfortunately causes, a lot of performance overhead in processing. Now, in some ways, that's not a big deal. We can throw technology at it. Word law is our best friend here. But at the same time, we're finding that what people want to do is always a little ahead of where the technology actually is, to be able to deal with some of these challenges, to be able to deal with things like fast transformations of XML messages and fast transformations of the sort of core data that's encapsulated within an XML message. Now, policy is another area that people are starting to recognize is ending up being very, very difficult to process. And when I say policy, I have this big P policy vision of policy. So policy in the security world is a very loaded word. To a lot of people, it just means authentication and authorization. So in other words, is an identity allowed to access some kind of resource? Proved the identity has to prove, who they are, and then a decision has to be rendered as to whether or not they can get to that resource or not. I think there's a lot more to policy than that. I think policy also has to do with a lot of the other points in security that are often sort of pushed down to program. How you make a message confidential, how you encrypt it, how you digitally sign messages, how you prove that they're coming, from one source to another. All these kinds of things. What encryption algorithm are you going to use? What key length are you going to use? All this kind of stuff. Where do you manage that? Now, in the web world, that wasn't really hard because we had this very, very simple mechanism in SSL, which it's all kind of done for you. But in the web services world, that's not necessarily the case. There are a lot of decisions to be made about, you know, what parts of the message you want to encrypt, you know, what kind of key lengths and algorithms and things like that you want to use, what kinds of signing you're going to use, what kind of hash algorithms you're going to use. All of these kinds of things have to be managed somewhere. And traditionally, we just sort of punt this and give it to programmers and say, well, here's what I'd like, go do this. And the thing about security programming is, it's not hard, but it sure ain't easy. You know, there's a lot of places where you can make mistakes with that. And so what we think at Layer 7 is that we need a bigger vision of policy where we need a central location where we can effectively manage policy in one place. And the policy that we manage is a lot more than just simple access control, authentication, authorization. It's also, you know, things like what parts of the message are encrypted, what algorithms you're using, and everything like that. So in other words, it's starting to take those elements of security, confidentiality, and reliability and integrity out of the hands of programmers, and instead putting that in the hands of dedicated security administrators. So this starts to sound like something that's kind of infrastructure-like, kind of like along the lines of firewalls and authenticating proxies and SSL endpoints and stuff like that. The answer is absolutely. It's taking those same kinds of concepts and starting to put them into new technologies, new infrastructure that actually works very specifically for XML messaging and web services. And that's really the core of what I'm going to be talking about in this talk. So the big problem, of course, we've got is that security is one of those things that has to actually be affected at an application protocol level. And that's a new thing. I mean, really, if you look at a lot of our existing technology, like firewalls and web application proxy, they look very much at a lower level. Whereas now, with XML messaging and that, we need technology that can actually understand those messages. And from those messages, you know, make decisions, make policy decisions. Okay, so like, look at conventional firewall. Conventional firewall was really like the fundamental, you know, sort of security model of the internet, which was this idea that ports, UDP and TCP ports were mapped to applications. And you know, if you follow that model, it actually can work very effectively. You can build firewall rules that effectively, you know, filter out any applications you don't, you know, want access to and things like that. And the problem with that, though, is that, you know, firewall administrators took this deny-all sort of approach. They just said, okay, we're going to block everything and only open up the ports that we absolutely need. And to actually get ports open, if you were an application designer or whatever, was a big deal. It still is. And probably should be. So what do? We started shuffling everything over ports 80 and 443. In other words, we started running, you know, existing or new application protocols over existing tunnels, like HTTP that's used for the web. And of course, that was an end run around firewall administrators. But that's really what web services SOAP does, exactly. And so really what we need then is newer technology, a sort of a higher level firewall that understands how to go in and decompose these protocols and make finer grained decisions based on the protocols. Because we can't just do it on the level of things like ports anymore. We actually need to know what the content of the message is. And you know, traditional firewalls aren't good at that because they don't know enough about XML. They don't know enough about application protocols to be able to make good decisions about should this message be, you know, forwarded to its final destination? Should this message be, well, decrypted because it's encrypted using a particular encryption standard or something like that? These are difficult fundamental decisions that really mandate a new kind of technology. And that's what we've done at Layer 7 and along with Trent. Now, a new interesting area, of course, is the whole area of XML threats. And this is something that's just starting to emerge, is that hackers out there are starting to realize that XML is a great new avenue for actually, you know, launching attacks against new kinds of applications. And really, when you think about it, web services in a lot of ways is a hacker's dream. It's opening up core fundamental line of business processes out onto the internet, onto intranets, and literally giving you an API, a handle into those applications. That's why we need, again, a new kind of technology that understands the nature of those threats and can block those kinds of threats. And again, that's something that we can actually start to provide. So the solution really is the technology that I'm going to start to talk about. And it's really got three fundamental components. The first one is really really built up on IBM's E-Series Blade Center platforms. Now, blades are really neat technologies. In some ways, people might look at blades and say, well, you know, isn't it just a repackaging, you know, a thinner kind of rack mount unit, you know, done vertically instead of horizontally. And say that is actually missing the point, because blades are actually a true concept behind blades, really, is that is common shared infrastructure, shared power supplies, you know, shared management across a bunch of very homogeneous units of technology. And with that, of course, in a large data center, you actually get, you know, the ability to very, very effectively manage your resources. Blades tend to be very redundant, so you can, if you have some kind of problem, you can very, very quickly hot swap, you know, out a failing unit, put in a brand new unit with no kinds of interruptions to service. And doing that kind of thing with conventional rack mount units is possible under a lot of circumstances. You have to get a much more a la carte solution of technologies from different players. Whereas the minute you go to a consolidated blade solution, you get the benefits of shared resources and the benefits of centralized management and really cohesion between these different technologies. And I think cohesion in a good way. Cohesion is, can actually be very, very effective when you actually have, you know, sort of a single homogenous solution like a blade can offer you. Now, of course, you know, a blade is really, or a blade center is really just a new kind of rack for new technologies. And the technologies we want to put in there are things like, you know, Ferrari's hardware-assisted XML processor. And Michael Leventhal is going to talk about that shortly, actually, and I think you'll find that very interesting. And then another piece of technology, of course, is what we build here, Layer 7, which is what we call our Secure Span Gateway. And the Secure Span Gateway and the Secure Span solution really are XML and web services firewalls that plug into a blade and can very, very effectively scale to providing sort of effective protection of your XML resources, of your web services resources, in a high manner. And it's something we're actually really, really excited about here. So first of all, let me talk about very quickly what you know, what this core Blade Center is and how it works with Layer 7's technology. So you buy a blade, of course, and you get a new unit that slides into a rack and a bunch of different openings that you plug in different kinds of technologies. What we've done at Layer 7 is that we've taken our, you know, core technology, our Secure Span Gateway, and configured it onto an IBM blade. Now, these blades, you can put in any number of them, because we've actually worked a lot on clustering. That's not a trivial thing. You know, if you start to talk to other gateway vendors, ask them about the clustering story, because clustering is a crucial issue in how you can effectively scale these kinds of technologies. But it's not as easy as it sounds. There's all sorts of avenues in a cluster for launching replay attacks and for, you know, fooling one system that doesn't know about the state of another system. So you have to have, you know, a technology in your XML gateways that has clustering built in from the beginning. And that was something that was a design point for us from version 1. We're version 3.2 of our product right now, which is something that we've just released. From version 1, we actually built clustering in so that we always knew that the core requirement of this technology was that different systems, different units in the cluster had to be able to work very, very effectively together so that they could do things like defeat replay attacks, so they can do things like produce automatic failover, so they could do things like propagate policies instantly across the cluster, so that you don't have strange race conditions where policy is being affected in slightly different manners on different systems. You actually have to have a real tight, and that's not something that a lot of other manufacturers, quite frankly, have dealt with. They've always looked at the problem as, you know, one simple standalone box, and well, maybe you buy two boxes and just load balance between the two with a sprayer. That's not good enough. You actually have to have a tremendous amount of cohesion between those systems. At the same time, you have to be able to balance that cohesion with the need for very fast throughput, and that's where the magic occurs. I mean, that's quite frankly, where a lot of the secret sauce is about how you effectively get that perfect balance between clustering systems and avoid problems in crosstalk and dependencies between different systems. And, you know, in my career, I spent an awful lot of time actually building high-volume e-business systems, you know, everything from travel and transportation to financial services and banking and that. And the kinds of things I learned in doing that, in being able to effectively cluster systems, whether they're on the web, whether they're between mainframes or what have you, is all the same kind of thing that went into into the architecture of actually how we built SecureSpan. And you know, the Blade Center is the perfect environment for clustering. You've got a very, very fast, effectively communicate across between these systems with a very, very low latency. And I can exploit all of that to get beautiful horizontal scalability between systems. I can also very, very effectively, you know, create a hot swappable environment where, you know, if for some reason one, you know, device has some kind of hardware problem or something like that, you can pull it out and put a brand new one in really fast, seamlessly, with no, you know, no big issue coming up. And when you think of it, some of the most scalable systems, some of the most, you know, effective e-business systems out there do this kind of approach. A good example is Google. I mean, Google doesn't use necessarily Blade. Maybe they do. I don't actually know, to tell you the truth. But what I do know is that they use a lot of very, very simple, low-cost systems that can very easily be swapped in and out of the system without, you know, running into any problems with, you know, availability. I mean, when was the last time you tried to get Google and didn't come up? Well, never, because they do an exceptionally good job of fast searches and being up and available. I mean, they're absolutely exemplary. These same kinds of technologies can actually be used in a lot of different environments, and the Blade Center is actually a perfect location for this kind of technology to be able to be applied to the XML gateway environment, and that's exactly what we've done. Now, of course, Gerard has actually done a lot of work as well with the Blade Center, and Michael Leventhal, of course, will give you a lot of details in a moment about that, but suffice to say, they've taken their technology, their RAX technology, which is hardware that's devoted to doing very, very fast queries and cloud documents, and they've put that into a Blade in such a way that it's absolutely not just, you know, a different form factor. This is actually optimized and built very specifically to work effectively in a Blade environment. And let me tell you, we at Layer 7 are very, very enthusiastic for the work that Gerard is doing. I mean, we use it in our technology for a very, very good reason. We're very excited about some of the new stuff that's coming out there. And so in an environment, in the Blade, what we do is we work with the Gerard technology in a Blade Center to create a truly manageable and scalable system. So in terms of deployment, of course, these Blades tend to go into large-scale data centers where, you know, you can scale up very effectively as volumes increase. And so on the right there, in this next slide, you see an environment where you've got a lot of back-end different systems, everything from Kix mainframes to AS400s to Linux boxes to different application servers and in there. All of these systems exposing functionality as web services. And the Blade Center acts as a front door, as a gateway that really is the entry point to any of those systems for XML and web services traffic. So that's the central location where, using the SecureSpan Manager technology, you actually push down policies and you enforce policies. So it becomes the single point of entry for all of those systems. And that gives you a very, very effective way to monitor access to those systems, to get an idea of what your throughputs are, your latencies are, where problems are arising, and to enforce secure access to those systems, using both enforcing things like cryptography expectations, identity expectations, doing automatic threat protection and scanning, doing scanning for viruses, all of that consolidated to one unit that is completely scalable. Now, of course, on the left there, where you have web services consumers and maybe, you know, producers on their own right, you can have another of these units. So localized systems can actually use this as an outgoing transformational system. So in other words, let's say you build a web services application and you build a client that doesn't necessarily know a lot about security and policy and things like that. Because quite frankly, a lot of the toolkits that are out there aren't very good at doing that. it can actually make a localized, secure connection to one of these blade units that'll transform the message before it goes out onto the internet or the wide area network into a secure version of the message according to whatever the policy is. So here's a good example. If the policy for accessing, let's say, the get quote stock service is that, you know, a message has to be digitally signed across the body, digitally signed across timestamps. It might be digitally encrypted in the body so that you know, nobody can pry in and find out what stock trades or stock queries are being made. All of that stuff can actually be done, affected on the outgoing gateway. So in other words, the programmer doesn't have to think anymore about, you know, how to do XML encryption or digital signatures or how to configure SOAP messages so that they're secure. That's actually something that's done as part of policy. That's something that's it's effectively set up by some kind of security administrator. And that's very powerful because with that is consistency. With that is the confidence and assurance that security is being applied effectively and correctly on all transactions. That's a very, very powerful story. Now, with that, what I want to do is turn things over shortly to... I'm jumping the gun here. I'm not going to turn it over to Mike Leventhal yet. I'm actually going to talk a little more about the gateway technology that we've got and what, you know, what it's really about. What we've done at Layer 7 is our gateway is a policy enforcement engine. What it does is it knows how to recognize XML web services and policies to those. So in other words, it knows how to scan through messages, identify them, pull credentials out of those, decrypt messages, encrypt messages, check signatures, all of that kind of stuff, according to whatever your policy is, on a very finely grained, you know, message by message basis. And to do that effectively, we use Terraria technology. We use Terraria as a mechanism for classifying messages and for, you know, drawing information out of messages so that we can actually do it at true wire speed. And you don't end up getting, you know, high latencies on your infrastructure. And that's actually a really, really critical design point. We actually build our technology in a couple of different form factors. We build, you know, single standalone 1U units that you can plug into a rack. But more effective for a large scale enterprise, of course, is this blade center topology. And that's what we've released just this week and what we're really, you know, fundamentally excited about. Now, one of the pieces of technology that we have put a lot of time into is our Secure Span Manager. And the manager really is your sort of single point of building policy. It's where you can edit policy, create policies, associate them with services, and then monitor you know, the execution of those policies across an entire Blade Center cluster. And so we have a single point of entry, a single point of management of that technology that effectively manages the entire Blade Center, regardless of whether your Blade Center is a, you know, a cluster of, you know, 10 units. It doesn't matter. It has the same sort of virtual view. And our manager technology allows you to build up very, very rich policies. And that's actually a real important design point because we don't believe that there is one way to process XML messages. We instead give you the toolkits that allow you to be able to, you know, effectively build up policies that are responsive to change and responsive to the kinds of you know, different issues that come up every day in a data center. Every situation we go into is a little different, and we're finding that a constrained solution that, you know, always does things in the same order, A, B, C, you know, authenticate, authorize, route, just does not work. It just does not work for all the kinds of situations that people require. So we build instead an actual deterministic language, you know, based on the WS policy framework, which is an emerging standard put out by IBM and Microsoft, you know, literally a processing algorithm for how you handle messages. So if you have something that's very unusual, you know, situations like where you want to completely process messages differently depending on time of day or where they're coming from or any of this kind of thing. You want to transform messages because of different versioning issues and things like that. That's something that's incredibly easy to put together with our manager. And that's a critical design point that I think gives us an enormous amount of flexibility. So with the whole SecureSpan X Blade configuration, which is what we call our Blade Center unit, we're completely compatible with the IBM Blade Center. We provide you with accelerated threat protection. So in other words, we're using technologies like Terrari to be able to in-silicon threats as they evolve. And we think that XML threats are going to be evolving constantly. So this is something that we will constantly be updating. We also have another partner with Symantec, where we actually use Symantec antivirus protection to actually scan messages and attachments for viruses. XML and web services is another great new venue for, web services for viruses and things like that to get into a network in an environment. And so we feel that we need to partner with best-of-breed solution providers like Symantec, like Terrari, like IBM, to be able to give you an effective enterprise-wide solution. Best-of-breed technologies like Data Identity Manager and Access Manager, we can actually very, very effectively integrate with at the RSA conference back in February, demonstrated a complete, declarative, federated environment for web services with IBM's Federated Identity Manager from Tivoli. And that's a really exciting new product. So it allows you to federate web services with no changes to code. And that's really, truly an industry first. I mean, it's something that I think people will be very excited about as they start to understand what it's about. So in terms of where we actually deploy our technology, a lot of the time we find it's perimeter defense. In other words, we go into a DMZ and we actually become the entry point for all web services traffic. But we also find that things like partner enablement are really common. So in other words, let's say you have a couple of different trading partners, which you're doing some kind of inventory management or some kind of trading relationships where you're using web services as a technology. We find we're going into a lot of situations where both partners actually buying the Layer 7 technology because they feel that our approach to declarative security, completely centralized managed security, can be very, very effective. And finally, compliance enforcement is something that's becoming more and more popular these days. As we get into things like Sarbanes-Oxley becoming more and more critical, we find that fundamental transactions, and some of which are becoming deployed as web services, have a lot of auditability issues associated with them, have a lot of security expectations in terms of things like non-repudiation, things like reliability and integrity associated with them. We can become the engine to enforce that, and that again is becoming a critical issue for a lot of new companies these days. Okay, so with that, let me turn it over to Michael Leventhal, the Senior Director of XML Products from Terrari, who will talk about some of their new technologies and where they're going with Terrari's new technology. So, Michael, are you there?
Yes, Michael Leventhal of Terrari. We're very, very proud to be a partner of Layer 7 and very proud that Layer 7 chose us to be a powered by Terrari partner. For some of you, Terrari might be a very boring company in some way, and if you feel that way, we don't mind at all. Terrari is a component that goes inside the Layer 7 solution, provides very core and very critical functionality. But if you would compare Layer 7 to a Porsche, when you're buying such a car, you're going to sit in the driver's seat, you're going to see how it feels, you're going to take it for a spin, and you may or may not care who built the carburetor, who built the transmission, and all those other parts. Some of you may care a lot. What you certainly care about is that those are the best possible components in existence. And this is really what Terrari is about. We are hardware specialists and we are XML specialists. Our engineers come in every day and just say, how do we make XML processing faster, better? How do we design new circuits to make XML really viable perform in technology with all the demands that web services places on it. So layer 7 is dedicated to the customer, to all your needs, to a secure solution and a performance solution. Terraria Insight gives a division of labor in bringing the solution to the customer. We do continuous development and evolution of technology to make that core processing really fast. To us, this combination of talents is the very best way to ensure that you're going to have a continually evolving solution that's giving the highest performance. Next slide, please. Okay. Now, you may wonder if in a hardware-based solution, if that doesn't in some way lock you in. As processors evolve server technology, blade sensors, and the whole world moves on, if you put a piece of hardware in your device, are you somehow locked into the technology of today? And Ferrari has really a very remarkable solution in that this is a portable silicon solution. It's housed on an industry-standard PCI-X card. It's smart appliances. It actually takes seconds to bring it up. Like Layer 7's software and technology overall, it's capable, ready to be migrated as servers, as blades continue to evolve. And as the environment becomes more performant, the card becomes more performant as well. The Terraria solution also has the remarkable property that it can be dynamically upgraded in the field. We have combination of ASIC and reconfigurable technology, so it is possible even as you are processing web services, XML messages, to apply upgrades, more performant engines. The card technology itself evolves. The cards increase in capacity as memory goes down. There's greater speed, all kind of base level enhancements. With the standard PCIX form factor, new cards can be snapped into the device and to give you the next level of performance when you come to that stage. Next slide, please. Within the specific context of the Blade Center, as Scott mentioned, we've worked a great deal with IBM and Layer 7 to craft a solution that really enhances, really multiplies the economic value proposition of Blade Center. By adding Terraria's XML acceleration technology, you dramatically boost blade performance, which is basically about how many blades you can get into a chassis, what kind of power consumption, what kind of space you occupy. The Terraria card makes the blade much more productive within that environment. And you then have greater ability of building modular, scalable, and upgradable solutions. Next slide, please. Terraria invented the field of silicon content processing. Content processor is a Terraria term used now widely in the industry. We also invented the first XML processor in silicon. Our product has been developed and continuously evolving. In 2003, in base benchmarks, we were able to get 5,000 XML transactions per second. Last year, we hit 25,000. This year, we expect to hit 100,000. And next year, we will be able to do 500,000 XML transactions per second in base benchmark equivalent to measuring the floating point unit acceleration. From that, we are not only an SNL acceleration company, but we have a number of hardware solutions to many problems that come up in web services. In addition to our random access SNL RAC solution, we have acceleration of regular expressions, which can be used for handling web services messages with attachments and other types of protocol handling. Also in antivirus solutions, we have compression and decompression, which can be used to decrease network traffic, can be utilized in binary SNL solutions. And we have cryptography used in XML and web services security. So we are not just the XML security XML solution, but really comprehensive acceleration technology for the whole range of web services problems. But,
thank you, Michael. Now that's excellent, actually. The performance curve that you guys are showing is absolutely tremendous, and that's one of the reasons that it's been so important for us at Layer 7 to partner with Terraria, because you know they've delivered some tremendous new technology that we're very, very excited about, and the performance numbers, of course, that we're getting as well here in the lab are absolutely phenomenal, and especially once you start to put this into a blade center configuration, you really start to see where this can be a very, very effective solution. So the three core components that we've been able to pull together here really are the IBM eSuper Blade Center, which is a phenomenal product for actually creating a truly manageable environment that works effectively in a large enterprise. Terraria's ASIC acceleration of XML, which, as Michael has shown us, has been doing some tremendously powerful XML processing. And finally, our own technology here, Layer 7, where we're actually integrating everything together into a true high-throughput, wire-speed XML gateway and that. And with that, we're trying to address what we think in the enterprise are really the fundamental customer concerns, really, which are to try to essentially centralize and simplify administration of access to web services. And if we can do that, we've done things very, very effectively. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody for attending. I've got a couple of questions here. Actually, one for myself, I think I'll take, and one is asking, are scaling strategies different for short messages versus long ones? And it's an excellent question, actually, because there's a bunch of issues now are starting to come up as people create longer and longer XML messages. And this is particularly becoming acute because, you know, people are creating SOAP messages with attachments, which, you know, might have massive attachments on them. And just as, you know, people started running into issues when they started doing email attachments with very, very long, email messages where you might, I don't know, throw on a large binary image or program or something like that, we're seeing exactly the same kind of problem with infrastructure as people start to create larger and larger XML messages. And we've actually seen gigabyte, literally, messages flowing through the systems. And the key issue there is not as much how we process the messages and how we deploy our technology as to how we actually handle those internally. And what we do is that when we scope out a particular installation, we start to look at the characteristic message flow. And that does have some ramification on things like how much actual memory we configure our local systems with, and we may, under certain circumstances, with very, very fast messages, do some kind of disk spooling if we're finding that the characteristic message profiles are extremely large. And when I say extremely, I'm talking about, you know, multi-gigabyte messages. We can actually do some sort of internal chunking of messages so that we can do bits, you know, pieces at a time. And that's actually a critical point, because what we're finding in some circumstances is people want to be looking at doing things like virus scanning of these messages. But of course, it's extremely extremely large. You actually can't just throw the whole thing at a scanning engine. You actually have to chunk it out into pieces. Very large messages where you have to do things like validate signatures and things across them, run sort of continuous running hashes across them. So we actually spend a lot of time thinking about how we internally chunk out messages and essentially how we temporarily cache them so that we can very, very effectively process them without running into big latency issues and things like that, which of course you do if you try to set the whole message down to two disks or something like that and then start working on them. We try to parallelize that whole process as much as possible. So yes, the answer is that we do, when we size our systems for a particular application, we do work with whoever the customer is on what the typical message traffic paradigms are, and make sure we size our internal deployment appropriately so that we can handle that, given our own knowledge of benchmarking here at Layer 7. So I have one more question that I know Michael will be interested in, and it's, what impact do the initiatives in binary XML have on scaling XML in a data center?
That's an interesting question. I was a member of the W3C binary XML gentlemen's debating and study group. The latest news on this, I would say late-breaking news, is that the TAG, the Technical Architecture Group of the W3C, seems to be negatively disposed on continuing the binary XML initiative. It's not absolutely certain that under some conditions they won't resume it. Now, using Layer 7 and Ferrari technology, it is possible to achieve many of the objectives of binary XML. So, for example, we offer compression and decompression agents, and we offer random access XML processing. Effectively, the two give you the objectives of binary XML, yet at the same time maintaining the advantages of decompressing into standard XML format. So that's a alternative symbol to have today to binary XML. A standard, if this comes into existence, will take many years from this point. Whether it comes from the W3C or if another organization decides to pick it up, such as a mobile industry initiative. From our work and investigation in this area, I would make a rough a guess of what we can expect to see in performance, perhaps 2x with what you get in XML, and compression ratios that are probably going to be worse than you're able to get with Zlib technology today on XML, maybe in the 30-60% range. Basically, you have to trade off. You need a balance between compression and acceleration of performance. So while binary XML may be of value in environments where hardware acceleration is not possible, such as on the mobile devices, that value for the network and data sleeve is going to be limited, and we actually have technologies today that really provide the solution to the kinds of problems we're trying to solve.
Great. Well, thank you, Michael. Okay, with that, I'll let everybody go. Into our contact numbers, if anybody's interested in getting a hold of us, please, by all means, do. We're more than happy to talk about this technology offline. And again, if you're interested, we'll be making this webinar available for download on the website so you can circulate it to other people that you might think might draw some benefit from it. So thank you for your time.